Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You think at some point there's, in the onward march of the LGBT agenda, there's a stopping point, a resting point, a point at which they say, here we have come this far and now we have arrived. They might stop to gather up their senses and say, where do we go next? But it doesn't seem to have come to that point yet. In fact, it seems as though there's no stop to what is being called for. What was it? 4 years ago, we had a president who was saying, same president we have right now, by the way, who was saying that the definition of marriage ought to remain a man and a woman. And now we have nationwide same-sex marriage, Obergefell, and the march continues on. Joining us to talk about the LGBT industrial complex, Rod Dreher, senior editor at the American Conservative, author of a recent column there titled The Next Culture Warfront. And he's author of the books Crunchy Cons and The Little Way of Ruthie Lemming. Rod, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be back, Todd.
Rod, why have some libertarians up to this point been kind of either apathetic to supportive of the LGBT agenda?
Well, because most libertarians, by definition, prefer expanding individual choice and individual rights. For them, it was a natural extension of liberty to give marriage rights and generally general civil rights to same-sex attracted Americans. And so that it seemed like a natural fulfillment of their own principles to extend gay marriage.
What happened at a recent LGBT summit that was put on by The Atlantic magazine?
It's fascinating what happened. This happened last week. The Atlantic did a LGBT progress summit where there were very few conservatives there. Only Ryan Anderson from Heritage was there. And Andrew Sullivan, who is now, you know, the big gay rights activist or a gay rights writer, he's now considered a conservative, even a reactionary by the gay activists. Anyway, they had this summit in Washington, and it was incredible. Over and over again, gay activists were hostile to the idea of religious liberty or of any kind of individual liberty when it conflicted with their agenda. There was a reporter for Reason magazine, the big libertarian magazine, who was pretty shocked by what she saw and said that this was not by any means a fringe movement, because this conference was sponsored by major American corporations. The Atlantic is a big center magazine in the political center. And she said that it is shocking how far outside of libertarian principles the gay rights movement is going. She even called for a divorce from libertarians in the gay rights movement.
Okay, in terms of specifics, what did she hear there that had her come to the conclusion, those two conclusions? Number one, this isn't some fringe group. And number two, libertarians should probably rethink their association and their support for it.
Yeah, well, she sat in through several panels. There was one in particular that was shocking to me, but shocking but not surprising, where Hi Feldblum, who is a commissioner on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, appointed by President Obama, she's been a longtime gay rights activist and a law professor, she told the audience that there is no case in which religious liberty rights should triumph over gay rights claims. She was on a panel or on a, in a discussion with David Bowes, who is a gay libertarian in Washington, and he was saying that there has to be a limit to gay rights, and you know, we should respect individuals who don't, for whatever conscience reason, don't want to go along with them. Not Feldblum. She said no, there should be no exceptions at all. And there were other things too, like people talking about how we have to have a, quote, safe America, which means not just freedom from physical violence, but even hurtful language. We've seen this all fall on campuses having to do with race. Well, here it is at this conference where gay activists won't even tolerate speech that they find hurtful. And there's more and more talk about forcing children who believe they are transgender to transition at an early age, pre-puberty, because that is the compassionate thing to do as far as activists are concerned. So you're seeing this ideology take over the gay rights movement, where libertarians and even some Christians believe that they may not agree with homosexuality morally, but they thought it was the decent and moral thing to do to grant marriage to gay folks. Now the ideology is completely in charge of the movement, and they're pushing anything that any expression that they don't like to the margins. It's not enough that the gay rights folks win, but we Christians have to lose. That seems to be the mentality coming forth now.
So the target in particular at this Atlantic's LGBT summit turned out to be religious liberty, or perhaps we should be more careful in our language and say free exercise of religion, which is what the Constitution grants in the First Amendment. But I get the sense here from what you're reporting, Rod, that since the First Amendment is a seamless garment, we're not just talking about free exercise of religion, but we're also talking about freedom of speech and the press.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You've seen on campus this fall with all the racial protests that students are actually asking for more censorship on campus. They don't want people to be able to say anything that they consider racially hostile or a microaggression, because that could cause violence. Words are like weapons in this mentality. And this is something the gay rights movement has been doing for a long time, especially in high schools. There's an organization called GLSEN, G-L-S-E-N. I forget what the acronym is, but what they do is go into high schools and try to advocate for so-called safe spaces. Well, what they do is convince high school principals and teachers that any kind of speech that is considered critical of homosexuality causes an unsafe environment and leads to physical violence against gay kids. Now, you would think that it would be enough to where no school should tolerate picking on or bullying anybody, gay, straight, or whatever. That's what most of us would agree to. But as far as GLSEN is concerned, any hostility at all to homosexuality constitutes violence. So what they're doing, this mentality, is shutting down any opposition, Christian or otherwise, to their agenda by calling it hate speech and saying it will lead to violence. This is happening in high schools, it's happening on college campuses, and now it's beginning to happen more and more into the mainstream, as you see at this conference.
You mentioned earlier Andrew Sullivan, who probably has been in the mainstream the single most influential person, I guess kind of acknowledged by the media, in the advancement of the LGBT agenda. Mm-hmm. But you said he's now considered a reactionary. Why so?
Because he has stood up for religious liberty. Andrew is a very heretical Catholic. I've known him for years. We've fought online for years about Christianity and homosexuality, but I consider him a friend, and he's been kind to me personally, and we get along. Well, this past spring, I was at a Christian conference, the Q Conference in Boston, and Andrew was there too. We took the time to have a cup of coffee together. And this was before the Obergefell ruling this summer, but everybody knew that the Supreme Court was going. And I said to Andrew over coffee, you know, you must be feeling really good about this. Your side has won dramatically. And he looked a little bit crestfallen, Todd, and he said, well, I don't know. I'm glad that we're about to get gay marriage, but I don't like the illiberal way that my side is going. So what do you mean? He told me, Todd, that he cannot speak on college campuses now because of the gay left. They consider him to be radical right wing because he has stood up for religious liberty, and in particular because he defended Brendan Eich, the Silicon Valley tech company head who was thrown out of his own company because he gave a few hundred dollars to support Prop 8 in California defending traditional marriage. Andrew Sullivan disagrees with Brendan Eich, but he said we have to be able to tolerate, you know, him expressing himself in this way. That is enough to get Andrew Sullivan effectively banned from college campuses. I looked at him and said, but you're Andrew Sullivan. You're the guy who, more than any other single figure in this country, brought about gay marriage, and you're telling me the gay left won't let you come onto campus? Because that's what I'm telling you. I said, the revolution has devoured you then. Well, that's where we are, Todd. I mean, it is so illiberal. It is so intolerant. And Christians have got to wake up to this. It's what's coming. And I talked to, this past year, I've talked to a number of people on campus, on Christian campuses. I've done a lot of traveling this year. Talked to professors and administrators and others, and they are gearing up for this next assault in the culture war, that on an assault that will try to take away a federal tax-exempt status for Christian colleges. Even in Massachusetts now, gay activists are trying to use the levers of the state and accreditation to shut down Gordon College over its whole adherence to traditional Christianity. This is coming, and if Christians think that simply that the Supreme Court's ruling settled everything and we can get back to normal and do this, what Michael Gerson and Pete Wehner called the Wilberforce option of just agreeing to get along and work together where we can, they're dreaming. That's not going to happen. The left is not going to let that happen.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Rod Dreher, senior editor at the American Conservative, about the LGBT industrial complex. Stay tuned. Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the LGBT industrial complex with Rod Dreher. Rod, you have written recently that the sexual progressives on the left there have captured the heights of the culture. What are you talking about?
Well, they run the media. Their agenda runs the media. I feel like I'm a conservative talk show host by saying that, but it really is true. You know, I've spent most of my career in the mainstream media. And the New York Times is the biggest cheerleader for the LGBT agenda. Just this past week, they put on the cover of the Sunday New York Times, the most influential newspaper in the world, a 10,000-word story about this transgender person named Cricket Nemons, a poor man, an ex-con who moved to New York City, got Medicaid to pay for his sex change operation. And the Times celebrates this person. There's a TV show now called Transparent. I've never seen it, but I've seen all the accolades for it. It's one of the most celebrated and award-winning TV shows out there right now about an elderly man who decides at age 70 to transition to being a woman. And I mean, this is the sort of thing that gets celebrated over and over in our culture. We saw it happen with gay rights when the media propaganda in both the news media and in the entertainment media began over and over again to normalize homosexuality and to demonize anybody or any expression questioning it. Now that's happening with transgender, and there is no effective opposition to it. I was in Washington this fall giving some talks. I met privately with some congressional staffers who are all Republicans, all Christians, and I asked them about religious liberty. I said, can we expect the Republican Congress to stand up and draw a line protecting Christian institutions and even individuals on the religious liberty front? Every one of them said no. No, there's no interest among the Republicans on Capitol Hill in doing this because they see it as only a loser for them. They're terrified of opening their minds, opening their mouths, these members of Congress, because they're afraid of being called a bigot. And because, note well, big business is totally on the gay rights side, and they're the ones who are largely the funders of the Republican Party. So what I've been telling Christian audiences since then is we have got to wake up and understand where we are in this culture, that we do not own the media. We don't own the entertainment media. Law is against us. The legal profession is against us. The academy is against us. And now our own side in Washington is afraid to take a stand to defend us. We are on our own, and we had better get ready for what's coming, Todd. I talk about this thing called the Benedict Option. It's a book I'm working on now about how we Christians have got to learn how to strengthen our own institutions and deepen our own teaching of our children in support of each other, because I believe that we're going to go into a pretty dark period in this country where we're going to be tested severely in our faith, and many of us are not going to make it.
You used the terms earlier, illiberal and intolerant, to describe the LGBT agenda that you've been writing about. Is the term totalitarian too strong?
I resist that term because I think that we risk using terminology that's so loaded that people don't take it seriously. I mean, whenever people talk about Donald Trump now as being, quote, fascist, I don't like Trump one bit, but I think that the term itself is so alarmist that we may just turn off any criticism at all. So when I talk about the LGBT folks as being totalitarian, I would resist using that language. That said, I got a call earlier this year when the whole thing blew up in Indiana over the Religious Freedom Restoration Act there, when corporate America came down really hard on the state of Indiana and they had to back down on the RFRA. I got a call from a prominent physician who was very scared by it. He told me that his elderly mother, who lives with him now, spent 6 years in a prison, communist prison in Eastern Europe for being a dissident under the Soviet-run governments. She lives here in America now, and she said she's starting to see in this country the same kind of atmosphere develop. Well, she's not saying that, oh, Obama's a Marxist or the Democrats are going to do. No, that's not what she's saying at all. What she's saying is the shackles people are putting or are willing to accept on their minds and on their free speech, on their practice of religion, seems like the kind of blind conformity and ultimately militant conformity that she lived through in communist Eastern Europe. And that, when I first heard the physician tell me that, I thought he was exaggerating. But the more I started researching into it, into what the great Czech dissident Václav Havel said about what it was like to live under communism, to try to keep your moral sanity and your integrity under communism, I began to see that she's right. We're headed that way now, where the propaganda is so overwhelming and the pushback against any kind of traditional Christianity is so intense that it's going to be very hard, I think, for our children in the decades to come to hold on to just basic moral clarity. And frankly, I have to tell you, I know so many Christians who think that everything's going to be okay if we just sit still and wait for, and you know, vote conservative, or if we just wait for things to settle down. It's not going to happen. When you have churches that don't teach kids very deeply into Scripture, that don't teach kids very deeply what it means to be a male and a female and what marriage means, all these things. If it's all about happy, clappy, you know, Jesus is my best friend, we're all going to heaven, those folks are not going to make it, because the power of the culture to propagandize and to form the conscience of our consciences of our kids and their minds is overwhelming. Flannery O'Connor, the great Southern writer, said, you've got to push back against the age as hard as it pushes against you. I think too many of us Christians just aren't pushing at all, or we're pushing in the wrong place.
Rod Dreher is senior editor at the American Conservative and author of a recent column titled The Next Culture War Front. He's author of the books Crunchy Cons and The Little Way of Ruthie Lemming. You'll find these links to these books and to Rod's latest column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rod, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Star Wars and the commandment, honor your father and mother. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. We're also going to begin a brand new series here on Issues Etc. We've done responding to evangelical cliches and responding to evangelical proof text. Tomorrow, we're going to begin a series responding to liberal proof text, talking with Dr. David Scare about the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 10. Folks, Christmas is 10 days away. Why not get your young child, your grandchild, your godchild, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Oh Bethlehem. While you're at it, they have a lot of great Christmas arch books there at Concordia Publishing House. They're great for kids ages 5 through 9. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, O Bethlehem. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 7 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2015, we're $55,000 short of making expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015.